Okay, hopefully we'll be able to rustle up a few more chairs for those of you around the edges. But I think, given that we don't have very long, we will get going. And we're going to talk about some ideas for sharing movies. I really don't like the title of this seminar. I have to say that right at the beginning. Five great ideas for sharing movies, or movies to share even, because that seems to kind of put your expectations way too high that these are going to be great ideas. They're the best I can come up with, but that doesn't mean I make no claims for them. But we are going to talk a little bit, not just about particular films to share, because I mean there are so many, but about particular ways of using film and some of the strategies. Here's three chairs. That's fantastic. Thank you, Dan.
There are two here.
Yeah, there's still two seats in the middle here, if people could use those. It seems a shame to have people sitting on the floor and wasting two seats in the middle. One more to come and sit in the middle. Nobody wants to sit in there. That's a good idea if you shuffle down. Okay, what you'll see on your sheet that I'm using as an overall framework for this, an idea from Edward de Bono, what he calls six thinking hats. He says this is a great way of thinking around a problem, not that this is particularly a problem, but it just makes you look at lots of different angles of something, and the hat's just quite a colourful way of doing it. So six thinking hats. We really do only have 40 minutes from here, so we're not going to go through all six hats in great detail. We're going to spend most of the time on just one or one and a half of them. But what I think we'll do to start with is to get you talking about the first three hats, which is the feelings, the benefits, and the drawbacks. So how do you feel about the idea of using films already? I mean, is it something you've done a lot of using film with your young people? Is it something you're wildly enthusiastic about? Maybe it's something that you think, well, maybe I should, but I'm anxious. I don't know where to start. There seem to be so many pitfalls. What are some of the things that you think you can really benefit from?
Don't rely on YouTube giving you anything. You set it up, fabulous clip, the whole thing just packs up.
Yeah, you've
always have a story you can tell.
Yeah, that's a significant drawback of having to rely on technology. So why don't you spend a few minutes just chatting to three or four people near you and talking about how you feel about films and what are some of the positives and negatives, some of the advantages and disadvantages. Thank you very much, Dan. I didn't realise you were going to be room steward as well. Okay, we're not going to spend a long time taking feedback, but let's just have two or three of the benefits of using films that you've talked about in your groups. Two or three of the real advantages of using films, yeah.
They're watching films already.
Yep.
And so we want to help them to engage with film Christianly. So they're already, yep. Already in that medium.
Brilliant. They're already using that medium. They're already watching films and lots of other media as well. It's what we say about films this afternoon will apply more widely. But they're already watching films. They're immersed in that medium. And we need to help young people to engage with them Christianly. It is part of equipping them for discipleship and equipping them for mission, I think, is to help them engage with films well and from a Christian perspective. Good. Thank you. Great. A couple more? Yeah. Yes.
So I think that's a great benefit.
Yeah, it's a fantastic resource because it's multimedia. You've the audio and the visual, sight and the sound. It's a very rich medium that makes it a very rich experience. And there's so many films, there's so many things, so many places, and you can take young people, in a sense, to those places through the medium of film. Yeah.
It can put something that you're talking about into a concept that they can relate to and understand.
Yeah, very good. Something that you're talking about, it helps them to be able to get a hold of it because it puts it into terms that they can understand using language that's familiar to them because it's the language of contemporary culture rather than the language of the church, which we tend to use. Yes?
They quite often form a very deep understanding and views on certain characters in movies,
Yes.
And it's in the journey of those characters through all the movies. So then if you can pick out and relate what is being said in the Bible to some of those journeys that they've seen these characters go through, then it just makes it more real to them.
Yeah, that's very helpful. People identify very strongly with central characters in particular in films. And those central characters are on some kind of journey, an emotional journey, psychological journey, whatever. And to help the young people who are identifying with those characters, who are seeing something that they connect with there, and helping them to reflect on that from a biblical perspective is really helpful. Good. What about some of the drawbacks? Sorry, go on. Right.
And sometimes I'm a little bit nervous because some of the sort of subversive element or the level of abstraction, you know, not to be cliche, but something like The Dark Knight, it creates a world and maybe there is no white knight.
Right.
And it's
right.
Cliche as, oh, Jesus is our white knight. But even with students, you can do that sort of level of abstraction.
Yep.
I just wonder, is it, I thought,
yep.
I'm a bit hesitant.
Yep.
I don't know where to start, really.
Okay. Hopefully we'll pick that up as we, a little bit at least. We don't have too high expectations of what we can do in this. There's an awful lot to be said about this. Yes?
I was just going to say, because they have such a deep understanding of the characters, then unless you have an understanding on that same level and understand the movie and the characters within the movie, you need to understand it in as much depth, if not more depth than them,
yes.
Than you.
So yes. Yes. Absolutely. We do need to work hard at understanding the films and not to use clips from films in particular that we've ripped kicking and screaming out of their context and that bear no relation to the rest of the film. This is one of my real gripes with the way that Christians so often use films. We find some little bit, that's what we're going to do all afternoon, we find one little bit that meets our needs and we ignore the rest of the film. And actually, that's not treating the film with integrity. This film is the product of people who are made in the image of God. And we would do well to remember that. Culture is a great thing because culture is the product of God's image bearers. It's God's idea. And we need to embrace and celebrate culture. But at the same time, culture is also an expression of people who are rebels against God. And it expresses our fallenness. And so there are some big dangers as well. And we need to have both of those things in mind as we come to anything. But in the context of what you're saying, given that this is the product of God's image bearers, we need to treat that film with respect and honesty. Even if we don't like the message it tells at the end of the day, still there is something of the image of God that is at work there. And we need to identify what that is. What is it getting right? How is it expressing creativity, which is from God? And what is beautiful and good and true here, as well as what is problematic and negative and ugly? We need to do both of those things and keep both of those dynamics in mind the whole time, because it's true of every aspect of our human endeavour that both of those dimensions are there. Yes?
I was going to say that sometimes clips and films can be used a bit too loosely connected to passage. Sometimes
yes.
There's not really a very strong connection.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. That's very true. We can be so desperate to find some film material to use that we make the most tenuous of connections in order to be able to make our point, and that's quite problematic too. It's got to be able to stand up to examination, even if it's with young children. Was it eight year olds you're working with? Yeah, okay. I mean, we're not primarily talking about the younger age groups in this session. In terms of the material that I've got, it's not pitched to those age groups, but even at that age group, you've still got to have a sense that this is robust enough, that I'm treating this honestly, that this issue in the Bible and this issue in the film, there's enough connection that I can do this with some integrity. Here's a quote from Ingmar Bergman, the great Swedish director. Film as dream, film as music. No art passes our conscience in the way film does and goes directly to our feelings, deep down into the dark rooms of our souls. That's a very interesting comment, isn't it? That films get under our intellectual radar and they touch us at an emotional level before they do anything else. And whether we like it or not, I mean, coming back to the very first point that we had, young people live in the world of films and television and so on. And if films are reaching deep down into what he calls the dark rooms of our souls, under the radar. We've got to help people to reflect on that process, and we've got to reflect on that process ourselves. Film is an incredibly powerful medium because of the way that it tells stories using words and pictures, visuals and sounds, and because of all of that, it connects with us in quite profound ways, which of course makes it an incredibly powerful thing for us to use as well. So, okay, that's the first three hats dealt with. We are going to spend most of the time on the green hat, which is the creativity hat. I'm not sure why he chose the particular colours for the particular hats. I suppose if I read the book again, I would remember, but it's quite a few years since I read his book, Six Thinking Hats. The green hat is the creativity hat. So, chance just to chat again among yourselves. Two questions. How have you used film material already, and what else could you try? Just some of the different ways that you could use films. Okay, sorry that wasn't very long, but really time is very much against us. Carry on that conversation. Hopefully there'll be something that somebody's mentioned that will stimulate something in your own thinking. But as we think about different ways of using film, let me give you five dimensions that I think are really important for us to bear in mind. Five dimensions of films. And I think we need to think about all five of these when we're using film and other media. The first level is the level of aesthetics. Film, first and foremost, is an art form. It is the most collaborative of all art forms. I don't know of any other art form that can involve 1,000 people in producing the finished product, which you would get for, say, Chronicles of Narnia film, over 1,000 people involved in those, and a number of other of the big productions like that. But even at a smaller level, even the smallest of films, there's quite a number of people collaborating in that process. Very rare to have somebody who's writing, scripting, directing, editing, filming all themselves. Well, it's not that rare, but it's people doing it, you know, with their dad's camcorder and then sticking it on YouTube. In the big film world, that doesn't happen very often, though there are one or two exceptions. So it's an art form. All art is part of being made in God's image. What is the first thing we hear about God in the Bible? In the beginning, God created. God is creative. It's the very first thing we know about him. So if we're made in his image, our creativity is something to be valued. And yet, so often when we're dealing with films, we go straight to the ideas. And we ignore this dimension altogether. Because we are so ideas-focused within the church. And at one level, rightly so. You know, there is a battle for the mind within our society. Because there's a battle for the heart of human beings. And so we've got to win arguments, and we've got to demolish arguments and pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10. Yes, that's absolutely vital. And films are great for ideas, but let's not do them the injustice of thinking it's just a collection of ideas. Let's help young people to reflect on this. Secondly, the emotions, going back to that quote from Bergman, if films primarily impact us on an emotional level, how do we help young people to process their emotions after seeing a film? A film that maybe has left them feeling completely devastated because this doesn't end in the way that they hoped it would. I remember watching New York, New York as a teenager and being miserable about it for days afterwards because it just ended so sadly, I thought. You know, how do we help people to process the emotional impact that a film has on them? Because films do take people on a very profound emotional journey. When we criticise a film for being manipulative, for trying to manipulate our emotions, what we're complaining about actually is that it's done that in a crass, simplistic, very obvious way. But all films manipulate our emotion. All fiction manipulates our emotion. That's why we tell stories and create art. So let's think about that. How do we help people to reflect on that? Then there is the worldviews element. There are ideas that are being communicated, ideas about the nature of reality, about the nature of human beings, ideas about knowledge, ideas about morality, and ideas about what it is that human beings need more than anything else in order to flourish, in order to be whole human beings. So those ideas are there embedded in films as much as in anything else. Philip Pullman, atheist, brilliant writer, but strong atheist, he says, all stories teach, whether the storyteller intends them to or not. They teach the worlds we create and the morality we live by. So we do need to think about the ideas that are communicated in films. What we will need to help young people to do... Sorry, you can't see around there, can you? But just take my word for what's on the screen. So think of it like an ocean. At the very top level, there's the surface level, which is where most people, not just young people, but most people are operating with films. They see it just as entertainment and nothing more. Our first challenge is to help people to submerge themselves a little bit, to begin to see that in this middle level, actually, there's a message being communicated here. There's a message about slavery, if it's Amazing Grace. There's a message about freedom, Shawshank Redemption. There's a message about love, 85% of films produced by Hollywood since the very beginning have romance as at least a significant subplot. It's quite a high percentage. So there's a message there. It's saying something. It's saying something about issues that matter in the world. Politics, identity, religion, happiness, spirituality. We could go on naming those kinds of things. But big, heavyweight issues that the Bible has got masses to say about. But then we need to take them deeper still to see those traces of worldviews, to see that actually fundamental ideas about reality, humanity, knowledge, morality, and what human beings really need, that those kinds of messages are being communicated here in films as well. So our challenge is to get people under the surface, get them thinking in the first place. That's not an easy challenge to deal with, I have to admit. Fourth level is morality. What about the morality of what they're seeing on screen? That's not as simple as, is what we see on screen nice morality or is it bad morality? Are they doing nice things or naughty things? It's much more profound than that, because if we think in those terms, we will think of sex, violence, strong language. Let's get sin in balance, because there are many more sins in the Bible than sex, violence and strong language. Ambition, conceit, greed, gossip, dishonouring parents, and on and on and on. And yet we're so quick to pick up on the obvious things like sex and violence, and we miss the materialism, don't we? Because we expose ourselves to these materialist messages from films and television for hours every week. And that God has so infected us Christians that we're as blind to it as anybody else a lot of the time. So we need to think about, you know, all sin, not just the obvious sins. But even if there's sinful behaviour on screen, what is the film saying about that behaviour? Is it, as in, say, Up in the Air, where George Clooney's character is living a very individualistic, selfish, hedonistic kind of life? He doesn't want baggage, he just wants casual relationships, he doesn't want anything to weigh him down. The film isn't validating that moral behaviour. It's, at the end of the day, it's saying, this is not a good way to live. If you want to be a rounded person, you need roots and you need relationships. So how does the film take a moral stance to what we see on screen? So it's a more complex question than we sometimes realise. And then spirituality. Spirituality in a bigger sense than, are there religious ideas or spiritual ideas on here? But spirituality is also, in broader terms, it's about how we live. What is the right way to live? What is it that a human being needs in order to flourish is a fundamentally spiritual question. So we need to think around that a little bit. I wish we had more time to talk through those, because there's so much to say. If I carry on talking, we're not going to get to any clips at all, are we? So you're here for ideas, not for analysis and reflections on the whole problem. So let me give you five brief ideas for using movies. Firstly, is the most obvious one, we can use films for illustrating teaching points. Let me give you one. This is from Thor. Teenagers tend to like superhero films. This is one of the most intelligent of the superhero films in the last couple of years, directed by Kenneth Branagh. Then no prizes for guessing how you could use a clip like that. And there are plenty of examples within films of somebody giving themselves in order to save other people. And a good clip like that is always a good way of driving home what Jesus did on the cross. Because We talk about Jesus dying on the cross, but it's back in history. It's words for many people, but an image, visual images of somebody dying for the sake of other people, is powerful. Now we've also got to be sure that we make clear that there are differences as well. Here, the hero is saying these people are innocent. Deal with me, you know, your arguments with me. That's a complete inversion, of course, isn't it, of what Jesus is doing on the cross. But nevertheless, it opens up those kinds of discussions for us, and it just helps to communicate that point in other ways. Now, that's a very obvious one. Think about this one and how you might use this. This is from The Eagle, from earlier this year, directed by Kevin MacDonald, based on the story The Eagle of the Ninth. Okay, how much do you use that?
Honor,
yeah. Yeah, honor and rebellion, yeah.
A debt,
yeah. He takes this debt that he owes very seriously. His life has been saved, and therefore he feels he has a debt. Yeah. You could also use this to help young people to understand a concept in the Bible that is so alien to most people in Western culture now that it's very difficult for them to understand what's being talked about, and that's the idea of covenant. The idea that here is a formal, lifelong commitment, a solemn vow that's been taken that binds two parties together because of something that's been done or whatever. These two are entering into a covenant. Covenant is a very alien concept for people today. The only covenant left really in Western society is marriage. And that's so undermined in so much of culture that it's sometimes difficult to talk about that as covenant. But here is Esker saying, I hate everything you stand for, but you've saved me. My father's dagger is my bond. I will serve you. Despite his reluctance to do so, he has a solemn obligation. Just begins to open up that kind of concept. So thinking round some of the difficult concepts in the Bible sometimes, okay, how are there parallels? Are there any connections of things in films that might just begin to shed a little bit of light? It's not going to be the same thing very often, but just begin to get us into the right ballpark. The concept of land is hugely important in the Old Testament. Why were these people so attached to their land? And how do we understand the depth of their emotional attachment? Well, maybe use a little bit from the beginning of Up, where Carl Fredrickson is so attached to his house and everything's being developed around it. But he's not going to leave his house because this house represents his relationship with Ellie and all their years together. It stands for their hopes and their dreams. And so the house means an awful lot to him. Does that begin to get us into the land kind of idea? Okay, so that's the first one, teaching points. Secondly, is a bit broader than that, and that's to introduce themes that we want to talk about. So if we're going to be covering a theme for a period of time, I mean, maybe just 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a single session, but maybe dealing with a film will get us into the right kind of theme. So what we're looking at is not necessarily something that illustrates a particular point, but that gets us in the right kind of area. So here's a clip from a lovely film, independent film, that very few people know, which is a shame, called Get Low, in which Robert Duvall plays, based on a true story, Illinois in the early 20th century. This guy had lived on his own out in the woods outside the town for 40 years. And he came in one day and said to the undertaker and to the pastor of the church, I want a funeral. And that's what's going on here. The funeral that he wants is he wants to be there. He wants a living funeral. And it actually was the first traffic jam in the state of Illinois because so many people, this was publicised, so many people came that the roads around this little town were clogged up with people coming to spectate at this guy riding on the front of his own hearse. But he says that he's paid. And what you discover as you go on in the film is that he feels like he's been paying for his sin for 40 years living out. He's deliberately isolated himself because of something that's happened. He'd built this church. He'd done all the woodwork on it. And then lived for 40 years paying penance. And he feels he's paid for his crime. But you can't buy forgiveness. So it's possibly a good way of opening up that thing. Yeah. Get low. Yeah.
Do you know the year?
Last year, I think it was. Yeah. Okay, third possibility. These are somewhat related, but exploring ideas, actually getting into the nitty-gritty of ideas a little bit more. Nothing in what we've seen so far really is giving us an argument about something. It's giving us just little bits and pieces that begin to fuel our conversation, begin to fuel our thinking. But there are films that where the ideas are much more part of the film, and they actually give us something to get our teeth into within the film itself from a biblical perspective. So how about this example from Invictus, story of Nelson Mandela and the South African rugby team. Now, obviously, with just a tiny little bit, but if you were to watch the film as a whole, there's so much discussion about forgiveness, reconciliation, so many examples of grace. There's lots and lots to talk around. So whereas some of these things, I would just use a clip as a starting point in a session. Others like this, I would want to try and take the opportunity. Let's watch the whole film. And then next week, let's talk it through, because there's so many issues then. We'll talk this film through with our Bibles on our laps and say, what does the Bible have to say about these issues? And how do we think about this film from a biblical perspective? What are we going to do with this film and the ideas in this film afterwards? We better skip Toy Story, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. I was going to show you the bit where Woody is telling Buzz, who wants to be a space ranger? You're a toy. You've got to be what you were created to be. Which is a great idea, that you really fulfill your potential when you do what you've been made to do. Fourth one is using films to look through other people's eyes. And this is something we don't think about very much, I don't think, because we are so fixated almost, and in a sense rightly, in trying to communicate a Christian worldview. And we know that there are many other ideas that are competing around, but actually there's huge value in using a film to help people to look through another set of eyes altogether, to look at the world in a different way. Here's an example from, which is a very short example from The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. I mean, here is a film where John Boyne, who wrote the book, he said, "As a British Protestant man, how can I possibly understand what it meant to go through the Holocaust?" But he said what he could do in trying to deal with this horrific event is to look through the eyes of an innocent boy who's looking in through the fence of a concentration camp, meeting a boy of his own age who is undergoing unimaginable horror and yet not realizing quite the severity of what's happening. And the innocence of this little boy, whose father is the commandant, and asking questions about what's going on, he said that helped him to be able to deal with the story, but by looking through somebody else's eyes. And that, so to look at something like that, I mean, maybe not that particular issue, but to look through other eyes is enormously helpful. Here's a comment from Lewis on that in an essay he wrote called An Experiment in Criticism. He says, "My own eyes are not enough for me. I will see through those of others. Reality, even seen through the eyes of many, is not enough. I will see what others have invented. Even the eyes of all humanity are not enough." And he goes on to talk about how he wishes he could experience the world through the nose of a dog, or understand what it meant to be a bee, you know, stuck in the middle of a flower. He says, "In reading great literature, I become 1,000 men and yet remain myself." And that's the joy of literature and of films. We experience the world through other perspectives. And that helps us to reflect on those perspectives. And by doing so, that helps us to reflect on our own worldviews and our own positions. So that's something to do with older people, I think. I don't think that's something to do with the younger age group. I think that would be too much of a challenge. But with older teenagers, huge value in doing that. We'll skip that example as well. That's from Amazing Grace. Fifth one, just as we finish, because we are about to, our time is up, but maybe we could just take two more minutes. Use films to appreciate creativity. It goes back to what we were saying about the aesthetic dimension. Other ways of using films that actually pick up on that dimension. And we'll skip the example of that too. Information, there's information on the bottom of your handouts. If you didn't get a handout, I'll put my email address up in a minute. Drop me a line and I can send you the the handout. There's one spare handout, or ask Alison Mitchell and she can get you a copy. Amazing Grace. And then there's the whole process thing, which we've not had time to get to. So where do you start? Do you start with the Bible? Do you start with the theme? Do you start with the film? Well, sometimes it's one, sometimes the other. It depends what you're trying to do. If it's an evening youth group, you may want to start with a film. Very often we're starting with the Bible. But let's try and find, what we want to do is to find things that overlap, that pick up on all three of these things at the same time. And then there's the question of selecting film material. That's a big subject that would require another couple of hours to talk through. So we'll leave it there. There's my website address and ways of pursuing me in cyberspace, should you want to. Thank you very much for being here. Do go outside and cool down before you go into whatever you're going to next.